firstborn son's going to inherit everything and take over the estate, all that stuff. So the next son is maybe going to go into government, and the third son is going into the priesthood, and they're hoping he becomes pope.
Oh,
to
yeah,
enrich the family.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah.
Fingers crossed. Like
tons of the popes of the Middle Ages were rich kids, basically.
Really? Yes,
they were like the third sons of noble families, pretty much all of them.
What a way to guarantee a seat in heaven, right? And welcome, everybody, to Strange Uncles. I'm Shane.
Oh, God. Fuck.
Holy shit. You ain't we hate to start it like this, but we've had some technical difficulties for like the last hour, and half of it was probably us.
Oh, so. Probably closer to 2 hours, dude.
Holy shit. Try to get this. Bear with us if we're a little agitated during this.
It's 1:40 here, and we started trying to do this at noon.
Oh, yeah. No shit. Yeah, you're right. You hit it on the head. 11 my time. Yeah, fuck me. Anyway, yeah. Teams, again, work has been, I don't know why. It's been glitchy. It's
when we hung up our last attempt on Teams, it was all like, we would love to have your feedback. I'm like, no, you fucking wouldn't.
Yeah, I love it how they ask that, right? Jesus Christ. Anyway, so we made it. We're here. Sorry, folks, but yeah, quite a thing. So anyway, hey, so I was going to share something real quick just before kind of the top of my head, and then I want to ask you another question.
Sure.
Have you ever checked out the movie Jules with Ben Kingsley?
You know, I've started it a bunch of times and just can't do it.
Can't get through it. Okay.
Yeah.
We watched that last night, and I thought it was cute. It's cute. Let's just say.
Yeah, it looks really good, and like Ben Kingsley is a tremendous actor, and the story seems pretty solid, but I just like... the first like 15 minutes of it kill me every time. I'm just like, I want to watch something else.
His whole thing about his azaleas getting killed is just fucking hilarious. But
maybe that's it. Maybe I just don't like how his character starts.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, you should finish it. It is pretty good. I think it's on Prime for anybody who wants to check it out. Jules, J-U-L-E-S, I think. But it's cool. Cool little alien family show, I guess, you know. So,
anyway. Yeah, and Ben Kingsley is the main guy, and he's a great actor.
Oh, love that guy.
Yeah, audience, don't take my like god about it, because I have terrible taste in things.
So do I. Likewise, my wife hates my music. She's like, oh my god, can you turn that shit off? It's giving me anxiety.
I'm like, oh, sorry. Yeah, same.
It is what it is. But hey, so how are you on your side, man?
Oh, started a new job. Fucking been beat. It's been fun so far, though, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I enjoyed being semi-retired. I had a taste of a small taste of what life for rich people is like, and I want more. You know,
it is
not
it
worrying
is
about nice. Money, not having to be anywhere, doing whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. Well, congrats, man. I knew. You know, hopefully, you know, it's something that you can stand for a bit. You know,
well, if not, here. It's a 6-month contract, so
there's that.
I only have to be able to stand it for a little while.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's just good seeing you back to work. But yeah, to your point, dude, I love it when I get some downtime and I have no agenda. It's fucking so sweet, you know. Nowadays, I feel like I'm stuck behind a screen in one way, shape, or form or another before I can get outside. So, anyway. But cool, man. Well, congrats on your side. This one here, so folks, again, we're trying to find time, again, after we fought for the shit for 2 hours trying to get our audio figured out, to do, like, bonus episodes. We've got a couple ideas in line, but so far, we're just going to keep the bi-monthly. We're going to drop the issue oddities, too, when we can. I actually will be making a work trip, but it shouldn't affect the schedule of the show, so it should be good there. And then, yeah, just waiting for spring to show up, man. I'm done. It snowed yesterday. Like, it snowed here.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
It was,
you know,
it was, what day is it? Saturday. It was 70 on Thursday and it snowed last night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I'm about done. I can take the heat any day now, people. So anyway, but with that being said, schedule should be done. We are trying to light up a couple guests again. It really kind of matters on our schedule. But this is one that we wanted to kind of talk about. And I don't know if you got any thoughts before we kind of kick it off and I go through the intro. It just the subject always fascinated me because of just the human race and how we handle shit that comes our way. And
yeah,
it's insane that how things sometimes get so misconstrued or so psychologically damaging. It's crazy. I really can't wrap my mind around the phenomenon, but we did find some good examples, and I don't know, you know, if you have anything to add to it or not.
I think I'll save my thoughts for the wrap up.
For the wrap up. Sounds good. Well, everybody, so we are going to discuss this little phenomenon here. So the mind is a truly terrible thing to taste. As far as we have come in studying and understanding the human mind, there's still a lot to learn, to be honest with you. We're still dummies where, like, consciousness comes from, right?
Yeah.
But let alone every other mind fuck that your brain does, because your brain is an amazing thing. But, boy, it can go south quick on you as well. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes in pretty gnarly ways.
Yeah, no kid. Oh, man. Yeah, no kidding. Example, more recent mass hysteria, which is what we're actually talking about. There was an incident, just so we kind of want to lay the groundwork, but we have some examples. But there's one thing that I caught in 2012 when a student in Leroy High School in upstate New York, he began twitching and convulsing in the classroom. And within a short while, dozens of other students started doing the exact same thing. There were no physical issues. There was no physical causes that the investigators could find. They said at the end of the day, it was all in the kids' heads. So, of course, one of the most infamous mass hysteria events was the Salem witch trials, which, again, you know, human beings can be pretty shitty and pretty paranoid. Fine example of that. And we did cover that, actually. If you want to, we have a pretty good in-depth episode on it in season two, if you want to dig that up. But it was fun to cover. Yeah, I feel
like we probably went at least an hour and a half on that guy.
I think so, yeah. Well, and rightfully should have, because it's horrible for what happened, you know, to be honest with you. But let's start here. Let's start with some scientific mumbo-jumbo, and then we can jump into some of these examples. The true definition of mass hysteria, or otherwise known as epidemic hysteria, is also known by, is, quote, mental illnesses that propagate and spread rapidly within a community, within psychological symptoms, sometimes coming out and manifesting themselves as physical conditions. They often are caused by longstanding stresses and fears within a community, with symptoms slowly building up and emerging over a prolonged period of time. That time ranging sometimes weeks, sometimes months, depending on what the case actually is. They usually explode in a rapidly contagious outbreak that engulfs a community or a large portion thereof before subsiding, unquote. That's the whole definition if you look in a bunch of Webster's or whatever. You know, reality terms is just paranoia and groups of people that feed off one another, right, at the end of the day. So...
sure.
Reasons it may cause mass hysteria, right? Because, you know, we always ask that. It often starts with environmental triggers. So, for example, imagine that people in a town smell a terrible scent, right? Some odor that came out of nowhere. Then a few,
who farted?
Right, exactly. We're here on business. Then a few people fall ill with similar symptoms, headaches, dizziness, et cetera, et cetera. Since people starting having symptoms shortly after the bad smell, the rest of the community might assume, and again, assumptions are awful things, that the scent is coming from a toxin in the air that's making people sick. Even if the people got sick for an unrelated reason, the timing of their symptoms around an unusual vent, odor, like we're talking about, may influence what others believe about their illness. And there you go. So a bunch of lemmings at the end of the day, right? Right off the cliff, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it also makes sense. Like, I live like a stone's throw away from a refinery, and sometimes it smells fucking gnarly around here. And
yeah,
enough that it does make you feel kind of ill, and you start to kind of wonder, like, what is in the air?
Well, and that, well, what? That's the thing. There's a fine line between, is there actually something occurring that can be proven that it's occurring, or is this something that people are picking and assuming and then running rapidly with it? That, you know, two totally different things, right? But yeah, to your point, absolutely. I mean, shit, there's things every day that, you know, oh, they shouldn't put that in food. That's banned. And we buy it every day, you know, so it's a thing. But
anyway. Yes, my fellow microplastics enjoyers.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, you know, this whole thing, again, you know, everyone is freaking out. So I guess I will as well, because, you know, everybody else is doing it, type of thing. Again, lemmings, right? Another term we want to throw out to understand the whole mass hysteria thing is a term called groupthink. I've heard this term, but not a lot. So this is kind of new to me.
I I want to say it was something that might have been coined in like 1984. That sounds pretty Orwellian.
Does it? Yeah, maybe you're right on that one. I didn't know.
But what it might have just been a concept that's been known for a long time that he was talking about. But and it's also been God at least 25 years since I read that book. But
great book, by the way.
I feel like they maybe I'm thinking Crime Think. I think I'm thinking Crime Think. Never mind. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, whichever one it is. So groupthink is a psychological phenomenon that occurs when a group forms a quick opinion that matches the group consensus rather than critically evaluating the information that's in front of them, right? So again, we're jumping to an observation and we're running down with – basically we're running with scissors at this point. You know?
Yeah, and groupthink can be really amplified if there's like a charismatic leader type person in the group, you know?
Yes, it can. Actually, funny you should say that. So groupthink seems to occur most often when a respected or persuasive leader is present, inspiring members to agree with their opinions. So, and we're in the midst of that right now. We have been for what, 6 years now? 5 years now? I mean, it's insane.
What
it's
year insane. Is it?
Yeah, I lost track completely. But anyway, you know, we're seeing it happen now, especially with the media, everything else. It's just a big ball of chaos. It is going to blow up, I'm sure, sooner than later. But, you know, we'll see. But with all that out of the way, those are all like the definitions. We didn't want to get too scientific, but we want to explain kind of what that mass hysteria really is. What we've done was pull some best cases. Some of them are funny. I'll be very honest with you. Some are like old cases that maybe they weren't documented correctly. Maybe they were. Some of them are a little bit more psychological damning, however you want to look at it. But to be honest with you, at the end of the day, the reasoning or explanation around the cause, except for one that we threw in the mix because it was fun. So join us as we go down the rabbit hole of mass hysteria, everybody. Open the gates.
Well, let's talk about the Cat Nuns of France. That sounds fun, right?
It does.
En français, s'il vous plaît. Do you know that the French word for cat is chat?
Is it really?
Yeah,
oh, chat. You learn something new every day, dude. Crazy.
Yep, I have a black chat sitting over here.
Yeah, I'm sure he appreciates you calling that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of the meme that I saw where there was like a there's like a breed of cat that has like really curly hair that looks kind of like sheep's wool. And someone was like, is it a kitten? And someone was like, it's a shitten.
And it's someone else dumb. Called That's it a funny. Chat.
Great. Good times. All right. Love describing memes on an audio medium. Anyway, before the modern era, many outbreaks of mass hysteria occurred within religious institutions. No fucking way. Are you serious?
Oh yeah. Right. Shock. Shocker.
Color me shocked. Convents were in particularly prime grounds, ripe for eruptions of contagious mass delusion. That was because convents, especially in medieval days, contained large numbers of nuns who had been forced into them by their families. So weird. I don't want to be in a super oppressed. I mean, it's kind of like prison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somewhat more freedom and autonomy, but not. Really?
Not a lot. No, I never got them personally, and families that did do that or still do that in some European areas. But
not just the ladies, but in medieval times, it was like, you know, if you were in an aristocratic family, it's like the firstborn son's going to inherit everything and take over the estate, all that stuff. So the next son is maybe going to go into government, and the third son is going into the priesthood, and they're hoping he becomes pope.
Oh, yeah,
there's that. The family.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Like
tons of the popes of the Middle Ages were rich kids, basically.
Really? Yes.
They were like the third sons of noble families, pretty much all of them.
What a way to guarantee a seat in heaven, right? You know, there's that.
What a way to guarantee that. I mean, if you think about it, being the pope back in the day was kind of like being president of several countries. So,
oh, yeah.
A lot of the Catholic countries kind of would listen to the church over the king in a lot of situations. So,
yep.
Anyway, once in, these ladies were compelled to lead lives that many found to be, well, fucking stupid, honestly.
Sorry, I don't get it. To each their own, I suppose. Anyway.
No, I mean, I'm all down for like whatever makes you feel good. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
But yeah, but also like that does not sound at all rewarding to me.
No,
like, I don't even, yeah. I wouldn't even go to like church on Sundays, let alone have that be my entire life. That would make me,
dude, the wife, feel weird. I was like a fucking 10-year-old last Sunday on Easter. Number one, I forgot it was Easter because I don't give a shit. It's a pagan fucking religious holiday. And two, she's like, oh, let's go egg hunting. And if it wasn't for family that goes to a church, it's a very non-denominational, you know, they're just there for, you know, to catch the spirit of the, you know,
yeah, we think Jesus is cool and that we're gonna leave it at that. Yeah, yeah, basically how the non-denominational churches work.
Exactly. And if it wasn't for that, and if it wasn't for my little girl, her first little Easter egg, I would, you know, just fuck that. Yeah, don't, I'm gonna catch on fire anyway. I want to walk in the doors. I don't want to add anything else going on, but yeah, anyway,
it's just, yeah, it's like sitting through a really boring work meeting to non-believers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
We digress.
So inside the convents, many of the unfortunate girls or women forced into becoming nuns were confined in prison-like conditions that led led a stressful lifestyle that was not of their own choosing. Among other things, the nuns were expected to be celibate and submit to poverty, hard work, and unquestioning obedience to authority figures who had the right to compel compliance. Again, no thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Often they were compelled with coercive measures ranging from extra labor to confinement in cells or holding back food and water. Of course, physical punishment was also available and on the table in case any nuns got out of place. This ranged from whipping and caning in-house.
Yeah, they didn't vendor that out, evidently. That caning was all in-house. So.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no they contractors.
They didn't send you down the road to the local caner.
Right, the local canery. Anyway.
Turning over the most defiant nuns to the courts. Oh, no. You're going to get sued for being disobedient. God. I don't know how that works. Jesus. That's fucking retarded. Sorry. Ridiculous. If things went particularly bad, they could end up with a hard-headed nun getting burned to death for witchcraft or demonic possession. If one wasn't careful, which again, like, oh,
it's
my,
the small so, things, right?
Maybe I'll save this till the end of this little story. Such conditions of communal longstanding stress and fear are textbook causes for the outbreak of mass hysteria. So it is not surprising that nunneries frequently experienced eruptions of mass delusions. Yeah. One of the most bizarre incidents occurred in a French convent in the Middle Ages. Of course, it was in France. Mm-hmm. A nun started meowing like a cat. Oh, en chat.
Kind of sexy.
An animal viewed in Europe at the time, not as cute and cuddly pet, but as being associated with Satan, which y'all are fucking boring. Soon other nuns in the convent joined in and started meowing. And before long, the whole convent was meowing. It eventually became chorus like with all the nuns joining in collective caterwauling for several hours each day. Understandably, the meowing alarmed and upset the neighbors, particularly in light of the cat's association with the devil and demonic possession. Pleased to stop, we're not heeded, and the nuns continued to each cat howling for weeks. They continued this weird cat howling for weeks. So soldiers were eventually called in order to whip the meowing sisters into silence, which finally brought the mass hysteria outbreak to an end.
Could you fucking imagine, dude? Wait, what are we going out for? Oh, you got some yowling nuns up on the hill.
I mean, I kind of get it, though. Like, even before we had cats, Aubrey and I would like replace words of songs with meow.
Like, oh shit, that's funny.
For fun. Yeah. And we would end up just meowing at each other.
My brother-in-law, he does that shit all the time. Like when you ask him where he's at, and it's like, are you coming over? Oh yeah, right, meow. I'm like, oh yeah, you're funny. You're funny.
Yeah, we would be like, meow, I've had the time of meow life.
Every other grunge band in the 90s is saying just meow. Anyway, that's fucking hilarious.
But it's crazy too, because like this kind of brutality in convents, mm-hmm. did not stop in the Middle Ages. Nope. I don't know if you're familiar with the mother and baby homes in, and the Magdalene laundries in Ireland, but like right up until like the 90s, if you got knocked up you would end up in one of these places that were basically like convent light. They were ran by convents, and they were like basically prison laundries where they would send the quote unquote unfortunate girls during the terms of their pregnancies for the family to avoid shame, basically. And it wasn't like a rich people thing. This was like happened to a lot of people, and usually actually more like poor and lower middle class people. But they would get sent there and they would be held there and basically tortured and worked really hard in these industrial laundries while they were pregnant. And then as soon as they gave birth, their kids would be taken from them and they would be adopted out.
Oh, nice.
Whether the woman wanted to give up the baby or not. It wasn't up to her. Yeah. It was just straight taken from her. And that stuff went on until like the mid 90s. And they're still like dealing with repercussions of that in Ireland today. Like victims of it who are like, where's my fucking kid? I want my money.
That amazes me. I mean, I understand like back in the day, maybe because, you know, we're not educated, but as mankind, we progress, whatever. But when you hear something that still occurred 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That's just fucking, it's insane.
Yeah. And it was super fucking brutal too, because they would put all the like moralistic, super hyper religious judgments on these poor girls. Like basically tell them they weren't fit to be mothers because they were whores, because they were knocked up, you know, out of wedlock. Half the time these kids were raped, you know what I mean? A lot of times they weren't pregnant because they were out having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Give
him a pep talk. That's fantastic.
There was a really good show that just was on Showtime, I think, called The Woman in the Walls, that kind of centered around a lot of this. It's like a weird, cool mystery show, but it's the main person was in a mother and baby home and had her kid taken, and then this is her like present day. She was there in the 90s. Like it's really good. Recommend it.
I guess that's a far cry. Maybe we shouldn't laugh so much about nuns meowing. Maybe that's innocent compared to maybe that's your vent. They all vented the same way or something. I don't know. Crazy.
The point is, there's a lot of people in a nunnery that maybe don't really want to be there.
Yeah. No, that's horrible. But well, we're gonna keep on the nuns thing. There was another one that we found here about the biting nuns outbreak. So, across the Rhine from France and Germany, similar stressors about nuns' lives, and we just are talking about it right now, so here we are, led to a mass hysteria outbreak in the 15th century. It began when a nun started biting the other sisters in a convent, and I'm assuming not like feel-good fun biting, I'm assuming bad biting. Before long, the behavior spread, and the convent was full of crazed nuns running around and biting each other. As described by a 15th century doctor, this is a quote I pulled, a nun in a German nunnery fell to biting all her companions. In the course of a short time, all the nuns of this convent began biting each other. The news of this infatuation among the nuns soon spread, and it is now passed convent to convent throughout a great part of Germany, principally Saxony, and it afterward visited the nunneries of Holland, and at last the nuns had biting mania even as far as Rome. So this new thing took off for quite around, evidently.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yeah, right. So seen above, the German nuns' mass hysteria did the French ones one better by not being restricted to a single convent. As news of the biting nuns spread, so did the bad habit. And get it? Habit. Anyway. And soon, with other convents through Germany, Jesus, were similarly affected. I couldn't help it. Similarly afflicted. Before long, the mass hysteria went international. And convents in the Netherlands, as far north as Holland, reported outbreaks of biting nuns. The hysteria also traveled south and crossed the Alps into Italy. The authorities were baffled and alarmed, to say the least, and attempted various countermeasures as the nuns, and this is a quote, the nuns at length worried one another from Rome to Amsterdam. So even the nuns that weren't doing it were worried about their fellow nuns just losing their shit, evidently. So
well, no one likes getting bit in not a fun way.
Right, exactly. When prayers and masses failed, the church resorted to exorcisms, of course, and the casting out of devils and demons, but to no avail. So they resorted to a more basic approach and threatened to flog or dunk into water any nun who bit another. This worked, and after a few salutary examples were made, the nuns quickly came to their senses, and the biting fever rapidly subsided. So yet again, corporal punishment came to the rescue to make things all nice again. So there's that.
And crazy. That continued in public schools through the 90s also.
Exactly. My kid bit the other kid at daycare. I mean, Jesus, you know.
Oh, I didn't mean the biting. I meant the corporal punishment.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, crazy.
Anyway, onto a lighter topic. This is something I think we can all get behind, the dancing plague of 1518. Who doesn't like to cut a rug?
Right.
This is a pretty wild one. Grab your Dune popcorn bucket, take your pants off.
Too soon, sir. Too soon.
Let's get ready to party. We all get a jingle or tune stuck in our heads every now and then, right? Sometimes I get a song stuck in my head for days at a time. And in most cases, it's the dumbest song imaginable. Back to our ladies' taste in our music.
Yeah, the meow meow.
Which makes the situation worse. That's bad enough. But what about taking that up a notch? How about a dance move that one can't stop? Almost everyone loves a good shimmy here and there, but what happens if the shimmy is so good you just can't quit and end up dancing yourself to death? Can't stop, won't stop. That's what the people of Strasbourg, Alsace, in what is now France, discovered in July of 1518 when their town fell into the grip of a dancing mania. Got dancing fever, bro. Hundreds of people started dancing nonstop for days on end. By the time the dance fever finally broke, many of the good people of Strasbourg had literally danced themselves to death from heart attacks, strokes, or plain exhaustion. Fucking it began crazy. Innocently enough one sunny July morning when a Frau Trophia started dancing in the street. Onlookers clapped, laughed, and cheered her high spirits and joie de vivre as she danced and danced more. Frau Trophia danced without rest or stopping for 6 days, and within a week she had been joined by dozens of her marathon dance mostly women, which is interesting.
Have you heard about this, by the way? Mm-hmm. This pops up here and there in my little weird, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's interesting. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is really weird because it's like I get getting into the moment for a bit, but like for days on end, that's this was also an era where people didn't drink water because they'd shit in every river, so they were only drinking like wine and beer and stuff, so maybe they're just loaded. But
yeah, they're the only thing sterile, right? They want to kill them.
Yeah.
So
let's see. Alarmed authorities consulted local physicians who opined that the cause was hot blood. On the theory that the dancers would recover only if they got it out of their systems by dancing continuously, musicians were hired, a wooden stage was erected, and additional dancing space was made by opening up guild halls and clearing out a marketplace to make more room.
Way to make it worse, sounds people.
Great prognosis. Those measures backfired and simply ended up encouraging even more people to join the hysteria. Within a month, the number of nonstop dancers had ballooned into the hundreds, and at the height of the craze, 15 dancers were dying each day from exhaustion and heart attacks. The Strasbourg dance plague was not an isolated incident, and between the 14th and 17th centuries, there were enough similar outbreaks for contemporaries to coin the term for the phenomenon, Saint Vitus dance, which is also a great Black Sabbath song.
Yeah.
Or Saint John's dance, which is not a great Black Sabbath song.
No.
or Saint Elmo's fire, which is a ridiculous movie from the 80s that has a great theme song.
I don't think I ever watched that. Interesting.
There is no modern consensus on the cause, so it is simply categorized as human social phenomenon, mass public hysteria, or mass psychogenic illness of unknown provenance.
Weird. I mean, you would just do something that literally is causing you to shut your body. I mean, I don't know. That's just crazy.
Man, I just love how we went from, like, people doing eye surgery in the Roman Empire to thinking that hot blood was the reason for people doing weird shit in the 1500s.
Well, I mean, shit, you know, even in the 1800s, you know, barber slash dentists were around. I mean, you know, so yeah
we, even then they were still pretty much bleeding people and it's wild.
Medical history, right? We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue with the mass hysteria write-up. Don't move. Stand by.
Believe in UFOs? Felt that chill up your spine that you just can't explain? Contemplate the other side of reality. Do you shake your head at the world that seems to have lost its common sense? Well, look no further than Strange Uncles. Find them on all podcast platforms and call their hotline to tell your side of reality at 801-252-6945. Open the gates.
All right. Next, we are back. We're going to move on to the Milan poisoning scare. You know, and I don't know if this one is so much mass hysteria as it, well, it is mass hysteria, but a smidge of paranoia as well, you know, as you hear, because people are literally scared to death, right, in this. It's just interesting how this unrolled. Europeans of the 17th century were prone to fears that nefarious people planned to spread a plague throughout Christendom via sinister means, such as sorcery and witchcraft or mysterious poisoning gases, right? Those standing fears were exacerbated in the city of Milan, Italy, after its governor received a message in 1629 from King Philip IV of Spain, warning him to be on the lookout for four Frenchmen who had escaped from a Spanish prison and might be en route to Milan to spread the plague via, quote, poisonous and pestilential ointments, unquote. Just the name itself scares me. So okay. For months after the royal warning, tensions mounted in Milan as the alarmed citizens kept a wary lookout for suspicious characters and grew steadily more stressed out and frazzled as fears mounted of an imminent poisoning that was coming their way. The city sat on a powder keg for months, like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, before, that was mine, by the way, put that in there, before finally erupting in what came to be known as the Great Poisoning Scare of Milan. It started on the night of May 17th, when some citizens reported seeing mysterious people placing what appeared to be poison in a cathedral partition. Health officials went out to the cathedral, but no sign of the poisoning. The following morning, the Milanese woke to find that all doors on the main streets had been marked with a mysterious daub that nobody could explain. Health officials inspected the daubs, but found nothing harmful in them and concluded that they were a prank by some mischievous actors with a sick sense of humor, just getting some laughs at the citizens' fears. Because, hey, why not, man? You know, it's always fun when people are scared and you want to add to that. It's
that happens almost any time there's some kind of panic, though.
Absolutely, it does.
There's always someone who thinks it's funny.
There's always someone that has that weird fucking sense of humor. Maybe it's me. I don't know. Anyway.
I also think it's weird that it's like, apparently someone was placing what appeared to be poison in a cathedral partition, but then there was no signs of it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What appeared. So what'd they find? Paranoia. Nothing?
Yeah.
Or was there something that just wasn't poison?
Jesus. Official reassurances were unavailing, however. Taking the mysterious daubs as a sign that an expected poison attack had finally arrived, the Milanese went into a city-wide bout of mass hysteria and began accusing random people of acts of poisoning, ranging from passerby on the streets to various nobles, to Cardinal Richelieu of France or General Wallenstein.
Richelieu?
Is that him? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he was the antagonist also in The Man in the Iron Mask.
That rings a bell. Okay, there you go. And then General Wallenstein, commander of the armies of the Holy Roman Empire in the then raging 30 Years' War, which, you know, we're not going to cover because that was a thing as well. Among the early victims of the hysteria was an elderly man who was spotted wiping a bench in church before sitting down. Holy shit, don't do that, guy. A mob of crazed women accused him of poisoning the seat and seized and violently assailed him in the church.
Oh my God. Wiping down a seat before you sit on it seems like a pretty fucking normal thing to do.
Evidently not when you're paranoid, right? They then dragged him to the magistrates where he continued to beat him on the way because, you know,
nice.
Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And they ended up actually accidentally killing him while en route. So there's that. More tragic was the case of a pharmacist who was accused of being in cahoots with the devil when he was found with unknown potions. After prolonged torture...
Not unknown and, potions.
Right, exactly. Heaven forbid. And time on a stretching rack, he changed his pleas of innocence to a confession of guilt, repeating whatever his torturers wanted to hear in order to end the pain. Because, holy shit, this stuff never worked anyway. Fucking torture. Anyway, from admitting to being in the league with the devil and foreigners to poison the city, the pharmacist named other accomplices who were innocent of any crime. Thanks, guy. They, in turn, were arrested and tortured, and to end their suffering, they named yet more innocents, repeating the whole process over and over. All were tried, convicted based on the confession extracted under torture, and executed. So, yay.
Was this the 1500s or the 1950s? What the fuck?
Right, exactly. It's hard to know.
Where's McCarthy?
Oh, Jesus. As the mass hysteria mounting insanity tightened its grip on the fevered city, a high number of Milanese stepped forward to accuse themselves. So this is a little twist. Many went to the magistrates and voluntarily confessed to amazing deeds of the supernatural, describing meetings with the devil, witches, sorcerers, and sundry practitioners of black magic in which they plotted to poison the city. As reported, the number of persons who confessed that they were employed by the devil to distribute poison is almost incredible. That was a quote in one of the reports. And of course, you know, because of that, many were executed based on the voluntary false confessions, and there you go. Gradually, everything just kind of went away.
Yeah. It's weird that that's always been a thing, too. Like, people, whenever there's like a crazy situation going on, people like confessing falsely out of nowhere. You know, like I get the people confessing under torture. Being tortured. Like, of course you're going to confess. But then, like, these people that just come forward and are like, I've been playing with the devil.
And it makes you wonder, like, are they really thinking it because their paranoia got so out of whack that their brains are telling them that? Or are they doing it because to save, well, if I go in to confess, all this may end. Like, you know, what's
who knows, your reasoning, man? Because, right? Like, people still do it today whenever there's some crazy thing going on in you know, in a city or something. Say a serial killer or like, you know, a phantom shitter or something.
Well, shit, you'll get how many people
whenever they open a tip line, you'll get a bunch of people calling in and saying it's them, even though it's not.
Right. Well, how many people came and claimed that they were the Zodiac Killer way back when? Same thing. They had like three different people come out of the woodwork that never did it. But yeah, maybe it's a 5 minutes of fame thing. Maybe it's that too. I don't know. It's just,
I think,
weird.
People are just fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, evidently. The jury's out on that, right? So
Yeah. People do weird shit for who knows what reasons.
Crazy.
Speaking of weird shit, let's talk about the Hammersmith ghost hysteria.
Ooh, ghosts.
Because it wouldn't be Strange Uncles if we didn't dig up something with ghosts. Right. Or it definitely wouldn't be a Strange Uncles episode that Shane wrote without something.
With ghosts. For sure. Very fair.
In November 1803, reports began circulating of ghost sightings in the Hammersmith district of West London. Many thought that the ghost was that of a recent suicide buried in Hammersmith's churchyard, which was in line with a widespread contemporary belief that suicides should not be buried in consecrated grounds because their souls would find no rest there. Because, of course, if life sucks bad enough that you want to end it, why would the afterlife be any fucking better?
Right.
Anyway, the ghost was described by all who saw it as being very tall and dressed all in white. No. With some witnesses adding horns and glass eyes to the description. Okay. Horns and glasses. Alarmed at the sightings quickly grew to widespread panic and then mass hysteria as more and more people stepped forward to report what they had not only seen the Hammersmith ghost, but had been attacked by it as well. In response, fearful citizens took it to arms and began patrolling the neighborhood. That's definitely not going to end badly. This will, of course, protect you from a horrible ghost attack, right? Well, ghosts are notoriously not very bulletproof.
I've heard. Yeah.
Swords, knives, you know.
Yeah.
Small arms of all kinds are very, very useful against ghosts.
For sure. Jesus Christ.
On the night of January 3rd, 1804, one of the armed citizens, Francis Smith, was on patrol when he came across a bricklayer, Thomas Millwood, returning from home from a visit to his parents. White clad in typical clothing of his trade, white pants, white shirt, and white apron. Sounds like a Rancid song.
Yeah.
white shoes, white pants, white shirt, Cadillac. leveling his shotgun at what in 1804, I think that might have been called a blunderbuss. No, that would have been the 1700s. I stand corrected by myself.
Oh, yeah,
anyway, sorry, rambling. So he leveled his shotgun, shot Millwood in the face, killing him instantly. Lucky guy.
That would do it.
Smith was arrested and tried for willful murder. The presiding judge instructed the jury that establishing malice was not necessary for a conviction and that all killings were either murder or manslaughter, absent extenuating circumstances that were not present here. Smith was duly convicted, then sentenced to death, which sentence was subsequently commuted to a year's hard labor. That's quite the commutation.
Isn't it, though?
As the Hammersmith ghost, it later emerged that it was an elderly local shoemaker who wore the guise to frighten his apprentice.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is some Scooby-Doo shit, Shane.
Isn't that? I mean, could you imagine what a... Oh, egg on our face. Oh, that's a bummer. Oh,
sorry. I was just... It was a goof.
Yeah.
Gone just, horribly out of control.
I'm not going to say anything. Oh, my God. That's fucking crazy. Well, continue. Here we go. More paranoia of people that possibly murder the Halifax Slasher. So as we get more into modern times here, 1938, the town of Halifax in England was gripped by a mass hysteria that lasted for about 2 weeks, during which an imaginary attacker fell upon local women. It all began on the night of November 16th, 1938, when two young female employees of a local mill were attacked by an unknown man and rushed to a nearby house for aid, with blood streaming down their heads and wound apparently caused from a razor blade. Of course, you know, police were called, report was filed, and all this attitude spread throughout the community, all the hush-hush and the whispers of what's happening. As described by the Halifax Courier, the local newspaper, until the culprit is found and effectively dealt with, there is not likely to be much peace of mind, not only locally, but further afield. The affair has created a tremendous sensation, and it has thoroughly upset the people. Way to go, newspaper, for planting more paranoia. That's awesome.
Decades.
Right. 5 days later, another young woman in the vicinity reported being attacked by a man who left her with a deep and clean cut to her wrist as if from a razor. With no clear description of the attacker, police had no luck finding the guy, or person, I should say. I can't assume it's a guy. When 3 days later, another victim stepped forward, the authorities turned to the public for leads, and the local newspaper carried the headline, 10, what is that? What's London?
Pounds.
Pounds. 10 pounds police reward for the rest of the Halifax Slasher. With news that a slasher was in their midst, mass hysteria gripped the community. Even as Scotland Yard was called in to help the local police, businesses in Halifax and its surroundings shut down. The panic grew as more and more reports were rolled in, and rumors of the reports, all of them unfounded, mind you, came pouring of new attacks by the slasher in surrounding towns. So now it's out. Out on the streets, wild-eyed vigilante groups were set up and started patrolling the region, which set upon and beat up many stranger whom they, of course, if they came upon, who they mistakenly assumed, yet again, was the slasher. See what assumption does for us all? After woman alleged...
Does it make an ass out of you and me?
It does. As a kid, I love that. After a woman alleged that she had been attacked, a local Good Samaritan who had gone to help ended up being wrongly accused by the vigilantes of being the slasher and was attacked by the mob. You just can't do anything nice now, can you? Only the interventional police who escorted him home saved his life. The mass hysteria finally began to subside when, on November 29th, one of the so-called victims of the Halifax slasher admitted that his injuries had been self-inflicted. Again, I don't understand that whole premise, but other supposed victims soon confessed that they, too, had made up the attacks, and after 9 or 12 of the victims, quote-unquote, confessed to self-harm, Scotland Yard concluded that there had never been a Halifax slasher at all and shut the investigation down.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great? So 5 locals who have filed false reports were arrested and charged, so at least something was done, of whom 4 ended up doing time in prison for public mischief. Yeah, there's that.
Well, amazing, I'll see your Halifax, geez, I'll see your Halifax slasher, and I will raise you the Taipei slasher.
Ooh.
For 2 weeks in 1956, we're creeping into modern time, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 weeks in 1956, the population of Taipei in Taiwan was terrorized by rumors of a crazed slasher roaming the streets. slicing people with a razor blade as he brushed past them, then disappearing into the crowds and disappearing in the city. Oh, that's fucking wild, because I feel like there was a similar situation like on a subway in like New York in like the 90s or the early 2000s, where someone was like just like kind of cutting people on crowded subways, or like had a needle that they were, he was sticking them with or something. But
so fucking crazy.
Anyway, back to Taipei in 1956. About 21 victims were reported, mostly poor and poorly educated people from the lower classes. A typical example was that an older gentleman who told police that he had been slashed by a stranger after a medical examination revealed that the injury was caused by a blunt object and could not have resulted from a razor. The victim admitted he had not really known how he had been injured, but assumed Jesus he must Christ. Have been slashed because of all the talk going around. Oh, geez, because right. of all the talk going around. Yeah. That's a wonderful deduction.
Way to be your own Columbo guy. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Just one more thing. My alarm. It's 2:24.
Holy shit.
I don't know why that's set. So another example of the phantom slasher attacker was caused by incompetent doctors who examined another older gentleman who showed up with laceration on his wrist. When the patient casually mentioned that a stranger had brushed against him around the same time that he noticed the bleeding, the doctors put two and two together and blamed the wound on the feared slasher and contacted police. A follow-up examination by more competent doctors revealed that the laceration was simply an old wound that had been reopened by scratching. In reality, there had never been a slasher, but simply a mass delusion or mass hysteria amplified by sensationalist press reporting that never happens, does it?
No, not at all. That sounds weird.
Mm-hmm. After thorough investigations, police concluded that the victims had simply suffered the kinds of everyday accidental cuts and slight injuries that most people endure from time to time without hardly noticing. In the fevered atmosphere of the slasher scare, people simply attributed any rip in their clothes or scratch on their bodies to a surreptitious attack from an imaginary slasher. As the final report of the police investigation put it, out of 21 reported victims of the crazed slasher, 5 were innocent false reports. Again, 7 were self-inflicted cuts, 8 were due to cuts other than razors, and 1 was a complete fantasy.
And your last one was just a nut job. It had nothing to do.
You're not even bleeding, sir.
I don't even know why you... It's fucking insane, dude. That just baffles me. That baffles
Larry David levels of insanity.
Oh, my God. Oh, last season, by the way. It's going to be sad when that show goes away. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of I watch it when I have nothing better to do. So there's that. But let's roll into this one. So a little bit, let's get away from the slasher, shall we? We're going to talk about the Tanganyika Laughter Epidemic. I think I pronounced that right. Oh, we'll see. Anyway, 1962, a mass hysteria episode in which people started laughing uncontrollably began in the village of Kasha Asha on the western shore of Lake Victoria in Tanganyika, which is modern-day Tanzania, and quickly spread throughout the surrounding region. By the time it subsided months later, the mass hysteria had affected thousands of people and led to the closure of 14 schools. Jesus. It all started on January 30th, 1962, when a girl in a missionary boarding school had a fit of anxiety-induced laughter and started cackling uncontrollably. As she soon joined by 2 of her friends, it was not long before the contagion had spread and engulfed the entire school. Within a short time, 95 out of the school's 159 students were also laughing uncontrollably. It got bad enough that the school girls were unable to concentrate, and the school was forced to shut down 6 weeks later. So this went on for fucking 6 weeks. The afflicted students took their mass hysteria with them when they were sent back to their families. And within a short time of returning home, the contagion had spread from the school girls to the surrounding community. Before long, students in other schools in the region were afflicted as well. The symptoms consisted in the main of recurring bouts of uncontrollable laughing and crying that lasted for a few hours to over 2 weeks, combined with the general restlessness, aimless running around, and occasional resorts of aggressive violence. Doctors could find no physical cause for this contagion whatsoever. By the time the mass hysteria subsided, about a year later, a fucking year of dealing with this shit, 14 schools had closed down and thousands had been afflicted. Subsequent investigation attributed the initial outbreak to stress among the schoolgirls who found themselves in an alien environment within the missionary-run boarding school. The outbreak affected only the schoolgirls without touching any of the teachers or staff. Beyond the school, the surrounding population was dealing with the stress and uncertainty of the country's future, as Tanganyika had gained its independence only a month before the mass hysteria eruption. But it's doubtful that that's what could have been the catalyst for the outbreak. And I agree with that, because, I mean, what schoolgirls have to do with, you know, unless their parents are stressing them out, or I that's just weird. I find that, but yeah, you know, jury's out. It is what it is.
I don't know. I mean, I could see, like, just a sense of, a general sense of like unwellness, you know what I mean? Of like stress and pressure from like, of uncertainty.
Maybe. Putting, I mean, even kids have it too. I, you know, I'm not trying to poo poo that they don't, but, yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
I mean, like, we've all been hanging out with our friends where we start laughing at something dumb and then everybody's laughing and no one can stop laughing. Yeah, sure. And it goes on for like, you know, 45 minutes maybe, but like,
especially when you're stoned or on acid. Yeah.
Drunk or
Name the
one poison. Of your friends is just really funny, you know. Right.
Could be anything. Crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, that is wild. Mm. This one sounds like it might get a little gnarly. Yeah. The McMartin preschool child abuse hysteria. Oh fuck yeah, I think I've
I remember this. Okay. Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. This we're getting into satanic panic era stuff.
Yep.
What a fun thing to grow up during.
I was so horrified, dude. Holy shit.
The McMartin preschool child abuse hysteria. In 1983, a mentally unstable mother accused Ray Buckley, an employee of the McMartin preschool in Manhattan Beach, California, of raping her child. But she also went on to add that people in the day school had sex with animals, that Ray Buckley's mother and preschool owner Peggy McMartin had perforated a child under the arm with a power drill,
Jesus,
and that Ray flew in the air. Mm. All very sane, very credible claims, Shane.
Yes, absolutely.
Police were skeptical, but nonetheless sent a letter to other parents at the school asking them to question their children about abuse at the school, because that's going to get you really good evidence.
Uh-huh.
Very competent police.
Isn't that the right way to do it? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. We don't think this is going to work, and in fact might be a really bad idea, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. As parents talked to their children and other parents, other accusations of child sexual abuse began trickling in, because of course they fucking did.
Yep.
And soon turned into a flood of wild, weird, and increasingly incredible abuse. Accusations of sexual abuse and stretched credulity amidst a mass hysteria of false accusations. Social workers were brought in to gather more information, and between a combination of incompetence and leading questions, the children's accusations grew steadily wilder and more bizarre. In addition to being molested by Ray Buckley and his mother, Peggy McMartin, the children alleged that they had been made to participate in satanic rites in which they were forced to drink the blood of the baby whom they had witnessed being sacrificed in church.
Was Hillary Clinton there too? Jesus.
Someone's got to drink all that adrenochrome.
Right.
The children also said that they saw witches fly, that they had been abused in a hot air balloon and in non-existent tunnels beneath the preschool. Comet pizza, anyone? And one child claimed to have been sexually molested by the actor Chuck Norris.
Of course, because Chuck has done everything.
Well,
everything.
Yeah. Other children added that after being abused in secret rooms, they were flushed down toilets, then cleaned up and presented to their parents. Very believable accusations.
Jesus.
Although the accusations were incredible, they came at a time when the country was in the grip of the widespread fears of ritual sexual abuse of children connected in some way to satanic worship in the dark magic rites. Ah, yes. The satanic panic.
Yes. We should cover that. We haven't covered that, have we?
I don't know. I know we've talked about it. I don't know if we've covered it, but we should. If we haven't, we should. Because
light bulb.
This is like the tip of the iceberg. With elections drawing near, ambitious Los Angeles District Attorney Ira Reiner unscrupulously sought to capitalize on the mounting public hysteria and slapped Ray Buckley, his mother Peggy McMartin, with 208 counts of child molestation. Bucky and his mother were arrested in 1984, and the investigation lasted for 3 years until 1987. Mother and son were then put through a three-year trial, which lasted from 87 to 90. Again, not that fucking long ago.
Nope.
It was the longest and most expensive criminal trial in American history, at least at the time. At its conclusion, the jury acquitted Peggy McMartin of all charges, while Ray Buckey was acquitted of 52 of the 65 charges, with the jury deadlocked on the remaining counts 10-2 in favor of acquittal. Those charges were then dropped, and the mass hysteria and subsequent trial concluded without a single conviction.
Jesus.
A few tidbits after the fact. It's interesting when we walk, or so.
Oh, that's that case. Yeah, this is just a wrap up. Yeah.
That's the end of that case. But like that one's really crazy. They fucking ruined those people's lives.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I remember hearing about it. I mean, geez, can you fucking imagine?
It's all comes down to, if I remember right, Ray Buckey was gay. And was so that's what made him such a target in all of this was he was gay. And that's where a lot of the, do you really want these gay people in your schools teaching your children came from?
Well, to counterbalance off that, the whole reason we were so afraid of gays was the whole AIDS epidemic that came out the exact same timeline. Mm-hmm. And it completely chastised that entire group of people. Like, just fucking horrible, horrible time. Oh,
yeah, it's fucking nuts, and it's all the same arguments that people are using to try and demonize the trans community now. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I was just gonna say.
It's just, it's all bullshit. No one's trying to. None of these people. There are bad people in every group of people, but in general, none of these groups of people are like out to get your fucking kids.
No, like, they're not. This whole fucking, you know, don't say gay bill in Florida. It's like, what the fuck? So don't get me started, dude. Anyway, with that being said, do you remember, by the way, so quick little, because we mentioned Chuck Norris. Remember those stupid books like Chuck Norris is So Tough? Remember those that used to circulate around?
Oh, I just remember that being the like, Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down.
Yeah. Chuck Norris got in a knife fight with a chainsaw, shit like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. We're going to wrap up here, but here's a few tidbits. So this is weird. So it's interesting how we talk about hysteria. And again, these are just cases we found in history. There's plenty more out there that we, you know, that exist still, but these are some of the highlights we found. But it's funny how it shifted over the years as far as what we focus on that may or may not bring it about. So just to get kind of with the wording of it, hysteria is actually Greek. Originally meant a disease of the womb or uterus, which is why women were diagnosed with it in the early days and not men. So this was strictly a, oh yeah, you're fucking hysteric, you're hysteric, you're a girl.
That's why if you tell a woman in your life that she's acting hysterical, she will probably rightly smack the shit out of you.
Lose her shit. Yeah, and I don't blame her. As we progress in the 17th century, it moved from womb or uterus. It shifted to the brain as a source of where hysteria was coming from. As we shifted in advance in science, the 19th century finally recognized it as an actual neurologic disease. Signs that may lead to a possible mass hysteria event that you may be wrapped up in. Things to look for, maybe. Look for stress or trauma around you. Social pressure is a big one, especially now. I can't imagine what my Jocelyn's going to be raised in. It's awful now. I always worry about Logan 20 years ago, you know. Fear, especially stemming from one specific thing. And last but not least, if something doesn't sound right, probably isn't. May we present example A as mega. Prime example. It probably doesn't sound right. And again, you know, we're not picking on a group. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in, but some of these people that follow this mega, they're just the shit that comes out of their mouth that they truly, truly believe. Wow.
Oh, I thought you said know? Megan. I was like,
oh, no.
What the fuck is Megan, dude?
You stay away from all Megans. Don't go near anyway, Megans. Anyway, it's just an opinion, and we're probably wrong, but anyway, we got to throw it out there. But it's just the whole history behind hysteria, how it shifted these cases in general. And again, there's a fine line between mass hysteria and just being fucking paranoid, and the human mind just doesn't click sometimes, right? So
yeah,
Crazy.
Well, and one thing to like think about that might ease your mind as a parent with a very, very, very small child who is going to be growing up in a post-truth, post-reality environment. Mm-hmm. Looking at like what you were talking about with like the MAGA people, even with like QAnon, like they're not saying a lot of shit that those type of people haven't been saying for a very long time. Very you know true. What I mean? Very like true. The satanic yep. panic yep. shit is nothing new.
No. It just came
it's
to the
just
forefront.
Louder.
Yes.
It's just louder. But I wouldn't even say, I mean, look at what happened to this dude at this, who was just like a guy minding his own business, being a what was it?
A good Samaritan.
Grade school teacher
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Kindergarten. Like, you know, like that was a huge thing that a lot of normal ass people got wrapped up in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like on the one, like, I don't know if it'll make you feel better or worse, but it's like, this is nothing really new. It's just,
it's
just amplified and louder because of social media, you know?
Yeah. And again, not to get into semantics, but it's the same thing with the whole, like the woke culture, right? Now the word woke, everybody is, well, you know what? Initially when the whole word came out, and people were getting on the bandwagon with it. If you want to call me woke because I want to respect my fellow human being that stands next to me and what they are, as long as they're not hurting another group of people, call me woke as fuck. But that whole thing has changed and evolved and warped, and so many people have made it poison now that you don't even want to say the word. Like, it's just insane what happens with these things, you know?
Well, and it's just like, you know, you look at the people that have demonized it so much and you say, well, what is woke? They don't.
They have no clue. They don't know. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So you're like, yeah. Okay, Mr. Hardcore Trump supporter, secure our borders guy. What do you think DEI is bad? What is woke?
Why? Yeah, why? Ask me a question. You think your right is to have guns? Can you quote the entire fucking amendment? How's that sound?
I mean, it's just amazing. This is like way, 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 way off topic, but like
we're starting to get there.
But like, yeah, it just cracks me up because it's like, do you even know what DEI means or how it works? Right. Or is that just your new, that you think you can say that it's bad as a way to get around being racist as fuck?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like I said, it's, but you know, we talk about mass hysteria. Yeah. Some of it does stem from how people manipulate their environment and the environment that you're attached to. There's a lot of that, and that can easily get out of hand easily. I mean, examples, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, look at like a lot of how the otherwise normal people calling, like anytime something crazy happens, they blame it on like, oh, must've been a DEI hire. And it's like,
right. Yeah.
You guys know that like, that's not how that works. Right. Like, it's not like, well, this person is less qualified than this other person, but we have to take them because they're a woman or a minority or something like that. It's like, no. It just means that if all candidates are equal, then yeah, you might want someone from a more diverse background because that just makes your organization function better.
Yeah, it reaches the hands across the pond is what it does. It's better collaboration. Yeah. It's better you learn from people. You know, it doesn't matter where they come from. If they have something to bring to the table, absolutely bring it to the table. It's, anyway, we digress. Yeah. But there you go, mass hysteria. You know, and that whole satanic panic, I think I'm going to take a jab at maybe getting something on. I know we talked about it back and forth, but there's so much of that. It was such a scary fucking time to live in when I was a kid. I mean, mom was literally fucking all my Columbia House records. Remember the deal? You know, buy one, get one, 10 for 99 cents, or whatever the fuck was.
Yeah, it was like everyone ended up in massive amounts of debt because they paid for that one.
Yeah, like 16.
Yeah.
And you're fucking, you owe, right?
Mom we would always scam and like, do like fake names and stuff to try and keep getting like all the free CDs.
Oh Jesus, that's worse than what I did. Well, it's crazy because I remember mom like watching a Geraldo Rivera episode on Satanic Panic, and she went upstairs and went through half my fucking cassette collection and threw it right in the stove. I'm like, oh, you know, like it was just insane how the reactions, you know. And again, to your point, are always there. It was always there. It just now it's to the forefront. You know,
when I was in high school, I got in trouble with the police, wrong place, wrong time, completely innocent, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Because of that, my parents grounded me from my punk rock music because they, that's what they were blaming my bad behavior on. But like, seriously, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like some of the cops even said that straight up to us. Like, that's like crazy. I was sitting in the back of the squad car and they were like, hey, these are these kids we kicked out of this other place when this thing was going down. Like, we know it's not them. And the other cop was like, well, we got to take somebody in.
Jesus.
And it's like,
yeah, you got to give somebody a ticket, right? At the end of the day. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Cops rule. Anyway.
But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Again, you know, if you have any stories that you caught, I know, like, the dancing hysteria has fascinated me for years. Like, just, you know, and I know there's more detail around it. Of course, yeah, we condense a lot of the stuff, but it's just crazy how the shit comes to play and fascinating, really, at the end of the day. So, but if you have something, maybe we forgot, you have questions or, you know, a viewpoint that you do not share with us and you want your ass, by all means, you can, whatever kind of info, you can email us at strangeuncles@gmail.com. You can call us at, I don't know, is that number good? Oh yeah, 801. I don't even know if that number is good anymore. I might have to check on that. I think we got to
resubscribe the new one. Anyway, put it out there. Call it.
Yeah, I'll have it in the notes. What do you got on your side, man?
If you want to scream into the void at us, we are at Strange Uncles Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Strange Uncles on Twitter. There's a YouTube channel. I think those are all the ways you can yell at us, and then probably 6 months from now, one of us will check the messages and be like, oh shit, someone actually said something.
I've been kicking the tires on some other social that's coming out, that Twitter is, well, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Like, I've been looking on Mastodon, some of these other ones, but I don't know. I think where we're at now is good. We may add, and if we do, we'll, you know, we'll let you guys know where we're at. But yeah, by all means.
Just like Energy Solutions Arena became the Vivint Smart Home Arena, became the Delta Center again.
Yet again.
Twitter will eventually be Twitter again, it will always be Twitter.
It will all evolve, right? That's funny. Too cool. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy that. Everybody stay safe. Appreciate it. Close the gates.